reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
From the Gospel according to St. Mark. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he lay. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" Our second reading for today is found in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his great chapter on the resurrection of Jesus, its importance to us, and its meaning. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. And the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and the one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you hate Google? It used to be we could dwell in self-delusioned infallibility. We could sit around in our living rooms and argue points of information, ad ignosium, convinced of our rightness. And unless somebody wanted to go to a library and spend hours in research, we could dwell forever in the knowledge that we were right and they were wrong. No more. Somebody sits there, whips out a phone and says, "Google now." Research that might have taken you days before is now there. And with phone in the hand, they go, "You're wrong. See? See? You are wrong. I hate Google." Because I don't like to be wrong. In fact, what we really hate is being wrong. And that hate can take a lot of different forms. Sometimes it manifests itself in self-hate. You've seen the people. They live as if their only goal in life is to punish themselves. Though deep down inside, they know that what they're doing is wrong. They can't stop themselves. Because deep down inside, they hate themselves. There's another manifestation of that hate. If we don't turn it inward, we turn it outward. We hate and despise the people whom in our hearts we know to be right, but they've made us look wrong. Let's step back from the resurrection for a moment to just a few days earlier. Pilate could see through it all. He knew there was no guilt in the man. He knew that there was nothing that Caesar needed to fear in this Jesus. And this Jesus before him, a short time earlier, perhaps a week or two, was seen by large crowds to have literally raised someone from the dead by the name of Lazarus. There were eyewitnesses to it. As I noted a few sermons back in those days when someone had been dead 4 days, you knew if they were really dead or not. There was no faking it. Christ was whom he claimed to be, and yet he was hated for it. Crucify him! Crucify him! Well, they didn't just want him to go away, and they weren't going to be satisfied with just a normal death. No. We got to kill him in the most brutal way we can think of. He's made us wrong. How dare he? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But he was right. But the world still hates being wrong. And nothing's really changed about that in the couple of thousand years since the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in our nation, which claims to grant unto its citizenship religious freedom, it doesn't really exist. On all kinds of different planes, and in all kinds of different ways. You find it in classrooms. When someone says that they believe in creation, and I'm talking even in elementary schools, and middle schools, and high schools, teachers hold them up to public mockery. You know, there's certain things that God has reserved only to the estate of marriage. But if you're a teenager these days and you try to hold to that, you'll be made fun of. You might even have someone who claims that they love you say, but if you don't, I won't love you anymore. In a sort of unbelievable craziness. In the last few years, if you're a teacher in a school district and a little 6-year-old girl by the name of Sally, and yeah, she's a real girl, leaves Friday, comes back on Monday, and her parents say, no, this is now Johnny. And friends, you can't change a boy into a girl and a girl into a boy. You are what God made you. Today you can get fired. And people have. Not want to go to a wedding of people who aren't supposed to be getting married, but you've been asked to bake a cake. Well, your business might got shut down. And that's just here. In every nation where Muslims are the majority, and in many nations where they're the minority, It's not just, well, that's your religion, this is my religion, you follow yours, I'll follow mine. No, Christians are being slaughtered by the thousands. People hate being wrong. You've felt it yourself. But we Christians approach being wrong differently. He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
By that event, Jesus was not just getting in our face and saying, ha ha, I'm right, you're wrong. He rose from the dead to become our right. He rose from the dead so that we might know that our wrongs are forgiven. And that we have a righteousness, not that we have to earn or to prove, but a righteousness that comes as a free gift from God our Creator, who in Jesus Christ is also our Redeemer, who took it upon Himself to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. We don't have to prove ourselves right anymore. We are, because of the blood of Christ. Because we have been joined to Him in our baptisms, our sins died with Him. And the righteousness that He was has become ours. And it's knowing that that changes the way we approach life in this world where we're going to be wrong. We are going to sin. We are going to make mistakes. No, we don't try to. And in Christ, we don't want to. But we began our Easter morning service today in a remarkable way. Maybe not remarkable to you who have done it so many times before, but really quite remarkable in the world. We came here today and we said, I'm wrong. God willing, not with a quivering lip, not with a moment of hesitation, which I know occasionally between couples there is that difficulty, but with a fearless, I'm wrong and it's okay. Because in Christ Jesus, I am now right. It is a glorious freedom that God has given to us. It is a glorious message that takes the hatred out of our hearts. It banishes fear and allows us to live at peace. But know this. The world will hate you for it. It is not going to get easier for us as Christians. In fact, Jesus Christ was quite emphatic when He said that if they do this to Him, they'll do this to you. The world does not like being wrong. But because they have no Christ, they don't know what to do with that hatred of being wrong. Sometimes they turn it inward to themselves, indulging in self-destructive behavior. And other times they will turn it against us. But we need not fear, because we have a life given to us by God that they can't touch. Even if they kill us, as they are in many nations throughout the world, even in the words of that great hymn, Mighty Fortress, they take our life, goods, fame, child, wife. They yet have nothing won. He's judged, and the deed is done. The kingdom ours remains. He's right. And we know that. Because He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.